All right.
All right, it is 10 a.m. and we have quorum, so we'll call this meeting to order. Does anyone have any additions or corrections to the agenda?
Oh, we got to go ahead and start with roll call.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I
That's
keep
okay.
forgetting that. It's just they changed the rules on me and my mind.
Okay.
So anyway, please do a roll call.
Donna Schall.
I am here.
Okay. Gwen Bumpers.
Here.
Emily Drone. Lauren Irwin.
Here.
Shauna Mackey.
Here.
Jacob Pate. Rachel Stewart.
Here.
Carol Zeiss.
Here.
Thank you. So now, does anyone have any additions or corrections to the agenda? All right, moving on then, the approval of the minutes from the October 20th meeting. Does anyone have any questions, comments, or changes?
I had one question. I noticed that the decision about the young adult material type was going to go to the CERC committee. Shouldn't that really be a collection code? Is that what they're going to discuss?
They sent it back.
Okay.
I think they were in agreement, and I'm going to have to look back at minutes, that it should be a collection code rather than a material type.
Okay,
And
perfect.
it is on the agenda further down, is it not?
Old business, yeah.
Yeah, under old
Okay.
business. So,
Awesome.
any other comments about the minutes of the meeting? Then I would entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
This is Gwen. I motion that we approve them.
Thank you, Gwen. May I have a second?
This is Lauren. I'll second.
Thank you. Roll call vote.
Okay. Donna Shaw.
Yes.
Gwen Bumpers.
Yes.
Lauren Irwin.
Yes.
Shauna Mackey.
Yes.
Rachel Stewart.
Yes.
Carol Zeiss.
Yes.
Perfect.
Thank you. And now we'll have the share update. And JC, we're going to do that today.
Yes. So first thing I've got for you is the vote results from the membership meeting. All of the four proposals were approved by membership. So the next step for that is that it goes to the executive council. They'll, approve that, and then it'll be the law of the land. So again, those for a reminder for those proposals were the bibliographic service fee increases, the member fee scale increases, the permissions policy on who can or cannot have a Polaris account that has more permissions and are able to see everything, and then the annual permission or fee increase policy to where we won't see as big increases in the future. The Finance and Policy Committee would be able to do annual increases up to 5% without membership approval. So those are the four ones that were up for vote. And those go into effect for the fiscal year 2025. The next thing I've got after that is we're going to be at some conferences in the upcoming months. We've just had somebody at IdeaCon. Dina was there. So that was in Schaumburg, Illinois, and that was a pretty successful conference from what I've heard. Next conference will be at PLA, and that's going to be April 3rd through 5th. So we're going to have some staff going to that. And then after that, we're going to be at Reaching Forward South on April 19th. We're also having a number of presentations there from Sharon's CMC staff. So if you are going, make sure to stop by those as well as the booth that we'll have for those. Next, I've also got that we have a few open positions here at IHLS, and I will, after I'm done speaking, get a link for you all to the job board. So we've got a cataloger position open. We've also got the share circulation specialist open. And these positions are open due to staff. So Zach Henderson was our circulation specialist. He is actually working with our IT department here at IHLS now. So it's not any new positions that we're creating, it's just from staff taking other opportunities. And then next thing I've got is we have some committee openings, which of course we're going to be filling one here today, but we've also got a couple other committees. I'll drop a link for that. Part of that is I don't know if we've updated this yet or this committee yet specifically. And I think it's on the agenda. Let me find out. No, but I will just generally update you. So The process that we've been using to select committee members has kind of been, we take a look at the composition of the committee and see, you know, based on, because we do, it's finalized for the executive council, but for the other committees in general, we kind of see, you know, how many small library representatives do we have? Do we have a good number of large and medium? Are there any special or academic members on the committee? And we kind of try to select volunteers based on that. It's also based on volunteers. So if nobody from that underrepresented, you know, service area or population volunteers, we can't really fill it with that, but we do our best to do that. And this, this procedure has kind of been formalized, just to make sure that everybody's aware of what that process looks like. And then we've also received some feedback that we would like to see some like, statement of interest forms. So we have a new form for that, for volunteers to fill out. So that way, committee members can review that as well. Just to make sure that everybody's all on the same page and join in and everything like that. After that, I've got that CMC has some new trainings available in L2. So if you want to take a look at those, I'll drop a link for that as well. We've also got some more trainings up for BIB services in general. I've got all of those in there as well. And then if you've had issues, or we haven't met since October, but if you've had issues recently with Polaris having outages or anything like that, just a reminder that you can get text alert updates by texting Polaris to 84483, and I'll put that in the chat as well, just for reference. And you should get notifications anytime Polaris goes out, as well as when it goes back up. So that's something that we're trying to make sure that everybody's informed of. It's sometimes a little bit easier because right now, where the server that all of those alerts would go out through is like the same server that goes down whenever Polaris is out. So we're working to move that. So for right now, the text alerts will at least do that in the interim. And then last update I have would be, of course, Aspen. Our second cohort is in the midst of going live right now. So we've had a couple people from that cohort, and then in the coming weeks, they'll keep going live. And so far we're just, you know, troubleshooting any issues that people are having. Continue to send in those help desk tickets if you're having any issues. If you have any questions, you can always reach out to staff, and we're here for you. I think that's all I've got. Jen, do you have anything else?
Yes, I do. Okay. So everything in BIB services seems to be going very smoothly, but we do have an announcement. So it is with a very heavy heart personally that we are losing Josh. He has accepted our cataloger 3. He has accepted another position, and I'm absolutely thrilled for him, but very sad to see him go. He's been a great addition to our team. Along with that, we have a new cataloger 3. It is Anna Wiegand. She's been with us for almost 2 years now, and she is going to be a great person for taking on the training aspect. So she will become very heavily involved in that, and feel free to reach out with any questions or concerns. That does open up our cataloger 1, another cataloger 1 position, and that is currently posted on our website, which Jace is going to drop in the chat. So if you know anybody or you're interested, we are hiring at all 3 hubs. And that is all I have.
All right. So that takes us, well, thank you both for those updates. That takes us to new business, and our first item is for a new member to our committee. So she just couldn't be here today.
She cannot be here today. I mean, she has accepted via email as long as the committee is willing to seat her. So it's up to you if you want to announce her name and just.
Okay. I think I will, because okay. Most, a lot of people will know that Bobby Perriman from Vespasian Warner, which is in Clinton, Illinois, she was actually the original, I believe, chair of this committee when we were merging our 4 catalogs. She was really integral in creating a lot of the policies that we currently have. So Bobby has agreed to come back to the committee. So we're very excited to have her back. And she's used to be the cataloger for Vespasian, but then she moved into the director's position. So we'll be welcoming her back in our April meeting. So that's exciting. And that we're at full strength, which is great. All right, moving on. Do we need to vote? I'm sorry, we should vote on her. Sorry, we need to add her, don't we?
Can we do that with her not being here? I don't know. I have no issue with it. And in worst case, we'd have to re-vote in April.
Well, I will just entertain a motion then to accept Bobby Perriman from Vespasian Warner onto our Bibliographic Standards Committee. May I have a motion? for that.
I'll second that. This is Carol.
Thank you.
Or do I need to make the motion?
I think you should make the motion instead of
I'll make the motion.
I will second it. This is Gwen.
Motion and a second.
Okay.
Roll call.
Donna Shaw?
Yes.
Gwen Bumpers?
Yes.
Lauren Irwin?
Yes.
Shauna Mackey?
Yes.
Rachel Stewart?
Yes.
Carol Zeiss?
Yes.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, next topic. Circulating on order records, this continuing saga.
It is. I have an update on that. I have gone through and we are down to about 80 that we are dealing with. I have started ordering items in. If they are particularly old, I am doing a Goodwill cleanup and we are getting those records in just to be done. If they're newer, libraries have been contacted and are aware, been made aware of it.
Good.
Unfortunately, the only teeth I have behind it is repeated emails with harsher and harsher language. I don't personally know what we can do to really, I hate to say it this way, but get it through people's heads that don't, you can't do this.
Like, you can't take their barcoding privileges?
I can, in the sense, if as long as it's the same person. And at what point, how many times do I need to see it? Do we want to assign a number? Okay, we see the same person do it 5 times. Okay, I take your barcoding permissions and you do that class again.
Do we not have a policy that's strong with a number of violations?
We do not.
It's I think we should.
All right. Well, I can draft a policy and bring it to the April meeting.
I mean, does everyone agree? It feels like you're just knocking your head against the wall with this.
I very much am.
I agree.
There's okay. No point for you to have to do that. I mean, just to be a policy.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and it takes away from everything else.
But it's also a legal issue. If a publisher would come and mm-hmm. find that out, you know, we don't want it to come back on share as a group.
Yeah.
For one person either being oblivious to the policy or unaware of to making the change. I really don't know what it benefits them other than, you know, for their patron, they might circ one or two.
Wait. We're still talking about them circulating on an on-order record, which... Right. Maybe just because they are a barcoding library and they cannot put the record in. Right. So I don't know how that affects the publishers.
But then they either need to use the cataloging services provided or become a cataloger. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sorry, but you know, this one bugs me. It just really bugs me.
And there's entirely possible there's a crossover between circulating it on an on-order record and it being before its release date. Because a lot of times it is the newer material.
Yeah.
So, okay. I will, if we don't have a fully fleshed out on order policy, I'll do that. If we do, I will update it to include, all right, if you do it this many times, you get to retake the class.
Mm-hmm. So now I have a question. I don't know. Did we ever finalize what those on order records are supposed to look like?
Yes. Let me pull up the policy.
And does that include having indicators on the 100? That would be nice.
That is not included, but I can make that edit as well. Here is the current policy. And I feel like I can include the penalty in this policy, along with the addition of the indicators for the 100. For our acquisitions libraries, we'll have to reach out and case they need to update ordering grids or anything through their specific vendors if they have it set up to come in certain ways. But that can be done easily enough.
Are we looking at having some kind of violation policy if your on-order records don't look correct? I'm just saying currently right now one of our on-order things is all messed up and we're trying to get it sorted out, but I mean, it's been a bit of a thing.
I would say in your case, you've communicated with me and we're aware of the issue and we know that you're working on it. Okay. If we've been in communication with the library and explained they need to be this way, please set it up and they continue to defy that without letting us know why or that they're working with a vendor, then I'd say that's when we need to talk about if there's an issue and a violation. Okay. Thank
you. The other question I have is that since our new share financial formula is going to be that everybody gets all modules, right? Which would mm-hmm. include acquisitions. Acquisition training, did you say it was Anna now? might be something that we really need to revisit as a system.
So I've actually done it. I was at O'Fallon and did one for them.
Okay.
So currently I would probably be the one to do that, and I'd be more than happy to.
I was just throwing Anna under the bus.
The acquisitions module, as many of you know, is once you get it, it's great. The learning it is the challenging part, but we can definitely work towards that. And whether we have both in person or we come to you type of training or in addition to an online module through Moodle, we can definitely work on that.
I'm not saying that there's going to be this great, you know, stampede to start using it, but you know, it could happen.
Yeah. No, we can definitely put that on the agenda to get started on.
Okay, well, moving on to the next topic, additional local subject headings.
Yes, after talking to staff and with our additions to at the last meeting, we realized that we forgot to include a local subject heading for Yoto cards to go along with the Yoto player. So the Tony has the figurines, the Yoto has the card. Figured that would at least help patron search if they're looking for that particular format.
So that just needs to be added into the voted on last time. So is that just an amendment to this policy? The local subject heading policy.
It would just be adding it to the local subject heading policy.
Do we want to vote on it then?
Yeah. We had to vote on the last ones.
Okay. All right. So may we have a motion to add that additional local subject heading?
This is Lauren. I'll move to add the subject heading.
In a second, please.
I'll second.
Thank you, Rachel. Roll call vote.
Okay, Donna Shaw.
Aye.
Gwen Bumpers.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. Lauren Irwin.
Yes.
Shauna Mackey.
Yes.
Rachel Stewart.
Yes.
Carol Zeiss.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. Next up is the 490 for graphic novels and manga.
Okay. I'm going to turn that over to Josh. This has kind of been his thing.
Okay.
Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me? Okay. So for the last little while, we've been creating new editing checklists to give guidance to catalogers about cataloging different materials. And one thing that, as I was creating a new checklist for comics, graphic novels, and manga, was noticing that a lot of, not a majority, but quite a few manga and comic book records have 490 and 800 or 830 series statements, which they should not have, because they are originally published not as monographs, but as serials, and such should not have a series statement normally. So I included that guidance in the editing checklist, and I just wanted that to bring that to people's attention as something to keep an eye out going forward. It is in that checklist. We were not thinking that it needed to have any kind of policy or anything around it, but just that would be the best practice is not to include those. Because again, those are not published as monographs that would be part of what we would consider like a book series typically. Graphic novels can be different because they are published as more like a traditional book series. But yes, for manga and comic books and that sort of, they are truly published as serials, as periodicals. They should not have series statements. And yeah, I was just asked to bring that to the committee's attention.
Well, I do a lot of manga and I see them in OCLC. So you're saying we should remove them at the level of Polaris?
Unless I say this knowing that today is my last day at Share, so this is not going to be my problem. But unless a decision wants to be explored about including those, they should generally be removed from those serialized publications.
Yes. Why do we not want them? That's the part I'm trying to understand. But doesn't that still make it easier for our patrons to find things? Why do we want to take them out?
If this is a discussion that want needs to be had about including them, then I don't have a dog in this fight. I'm just referring more to the general practice outside and what my understanding is of the serials nature of them as opposed to monographs. If you want to have that conversation, go for it. I don't know that I would be opposed to it personally. So if that needs to be discussed, I guess now is the time.
Basically, do we need a local policy? And I don't want to say defiance, but going against what is dictated as standard practice to include them for the sake of our patrons. And I also really am fine either way. We can keep on keeping on and just know that it's a local change.
I personally think it's very useful, but I know I pull down a lot from OCLC. In mm-hmm. fact, I cataloged just 2 days ago, and was half my stack was manga, and they were all in there. Sometimes they're not in there the same. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. you kind of have a little bit of a, you know, oddity to them sometimes, but so they're getting put in at the OCLC level. So are they ignoring a standard practice that they shouldn't even be putting them in?
It could be that the standard practice has shifted or is in the process of shifting. Manga cataloging is becoming more widespread, and you know, we would expect that to obviously get more, not more complex, but to change over time as more and more libraries are buying it. So it could be that that is changing more, and that should be something we would want to include going forward.
So could I then propose that we also, in addition to the on order policy, make an update to the graphic novel policy for April and change the name from graphic novels to graphic novels and manga? And we include a local policy statement that we include these and they need to be in this format for yes. our catalog. Okay.
I think that would be very, very helpful.
Okay.
What do you think everybody else is? Anybody have an other opinion?
I think they're helpful too. I do a lot of graphic novels and manga. I think we should have them in there. It helps tie them together.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we'll take a look at that policy come April.
I can do that.
All right. Is there any other new business? Okay, hearing none, we move on to our old business. New material type, young adult books. So did this come back from circulation then?
Yes, I believe so. Jace, do you happen to remember? We've had a lot going on.
Yeah, we talked about it, and at the CERC committee, they also didn't necessarily want to add it as a new material type because as we talked about the last time, we would have to add, you know, the however many others to make mm-hmm. up for the difference between like juvenile and the adult ones. So at this time, I don't think that they wanted us to make a collection code or okay. to keep using a collection code if that was something that was already applicable. I believe that was the okay. result. Let me go pull it up again.
If that's the case, then if we don't have a material type that is appropriate, we can discuss about adding one with that particular library.
Yeah, let me go see what we had said just to make sure. The December meeting, we talked about that. Okay. Yeah, the committee discussed the issue and determined that young adult books was unnecessary. So that specific library then can use a collection code, it sounds like.
Okay.
Cool.
All right. Next up is Aspen Mapping.
That was also sent back, I believe, from CERC, Jace.
Let me go see.
Because I think, thinking back, and my apologies that this isn't at the front of my mind. That was masking, not mapping.
It was like what circulation statuses would be hiding from the catalog. So yeah. I think
okay.
recommendation that was in the minutes. Just like withdrawn or something like that.
Yes.
I think they agreed. I attended that
okay.
meeting.
So, okay, so yeah, then keeping withdrawn and not masking anything else at the time.
I believe the time that being. Was the conclusion of it.
Okay. Yes. Perfect.
I I've been a little concerned about Aspen and all the URLs not pointing in the correct direction. They keep going back to the old pack. I put in another trouble ticket on if you're in Share or the Polaris and you go to what the patrons see, that is going still to all old packs. And so I did put in another ticket for that. I did see where the OCLC link was put out in the director's list. If you are an OCLC member, when you can click back and say, show my, you know, show this in my catalog, and that would need to be changed as well. Okay. But those are real issues. I also put in a one about the carousels. Okay. Polaris has an option where you can create your own carousels. And so that is also going back to the old packs when they are created. I was given a suggestion that I can't remember the phrasing in Aspen, basically where you can, it's not a list, but it's a, like, what's a spotlight or something like that. I think that's what they call it. That's fine. It's just, now my question is, the person who does my carousels has access in Polaris, but they don't have access to the admin section of Aspen.
Okay.
So I don't know if I'm willing to give my part-timer admin authority to reach Spotlight. Does that make sense? But if we could fix it from the other direction, it would just be her Share Polaris login, which she could still do exactly. But I don't know if we can fix that. I'm just saying that it's an issue for me.
Okay. I can give you an update on the help desk ticket with it pointing back to the old pack. We are going to be actually discussing it at our manager's meeting on Monday about what steps we need to do. If it, we need to get Polaris involved, what we're going to do. So we should hopefully have an update for you on Monday or Tuesday about that. And then I will mention the carousel during the same meeting.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, we have them on our main webpage and we've been doing that for a long time. And I don't know if I necessarily want to go away from it. I just don't know if I want to give her admin access.
Yeah.
That's my biggest problem because there's so many other things you can do in there. I mean, you are really controlling a lot of things in that admin portion. So I'm just concerned about that. And then there was, oh, it left my brain. There was another thing I had a trouble ticket in. Oh, I have started using the Square. You might want to mention this, that I've actually had some people pay me, which is wonderful that they're paying me online through the pack. I'm ecstatic that they're paying up their bills. But when I get a report, at least in Square, it is generic. It's just unknown user. I have no barcode that it goes back to. I don't know if they're paying fines, lost fees. I mean, so although I am seriously happy that they're paying me, I just don't know what they're paying me for. And if I should be addressing, like, okay, they paid for a lost item, great. But now should I replace it? Should I remove it? What should I do with that? So anyway, so I've been opening up a lot of tickets, but I'm glad the second cohort is started. So they'll new eyes, they'll see different things.
And we appreciate you sending us those tickets. We will work on these and see what we can figure out for you.
I really appreciate it.
I have an Aspen question I noticed the other day. I was just looking up a particular title and I was scrolling down when in the detailed view where there's a box that says like explore like similar titles or something. And when I went to click on one of those, it then took me to a new tab to the Share generic catalog. Like it didn't keep me in my catalog. I was like, well, that's weird. And I tried signing in thinking, well, maybe my barcode would recognize my home library and then it would like refresh to be mine, and it didn't. So I don't know.
You might want to open a ticket through, you know, the help desk and give them screenshots. You know, just take a snapshot of what it's doing because it's helpful to be able to follow the path. Of what you're clicking on.
I was trying to recreate it and I'm like, mine's staying in the pack. So yes, or in Aspen. So definitely please send those screenshots.
And Donna, for the carousel issue, I know Dina knows more about that. So she'll definitely probably have some feedback after the Monday meeting. Because she had helped me with somebody else with their carousel issue they were having.
Yeah, again, I think my answer on my ticket was to make it in spotlight or whatever that, if I'm using the wrong word, I apologize. But again, I'm just not really sure I want to give this particular person admin.
Okay.
I'd like a different solution, maybe. I'm not
sure. We'll see what we can come up with.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Moving on. Anything else about Aspen? Okay. Moving on to collection code. The project is delayed.
Yes. So we had to delay the project due to staffing changes and holidays and weather closures. Now that that seems to be more in place, we are hoping to jump back on that in the next, hopefully, month or so. And we'll have a hopefully decent sized update in April with reduction in the number of collection codes.
And in our last minutes, we had, it had already been reduced by 246.
Mm-hmm.
So we're at a total of 961.
Yeah, we're floating right around that. I think there's been the addition of a couple, usually very much needed related to like four world languages. But if we can get that number down further, we would be thrilled.
Oh yeah, I think that would make life a little bit simpler. And also, I think, Rachel, we had mentioned about, you know, when we do our statistics, there's not a lot of good, great reports coming out of Polaris. And so you get these random generic collection codes that come through and you're just literally guessing what that was. So the more specific people could be, and maybe that'll be our next project is, hey, pick something that's more specific.
We were actually just talking about that report because of, now that Aspen's including more of those digital items, that thinking like, oh, are those now going to be showing on that report? Because Cloud Library does. So we were wondering if those were then going to show to keep statistics on there, which I thought, I don't really know who.
I haven't seen any of my Overdrive come through on the Polaris reports, but then you can go to Overdrive and just pull those.
Right. We were just thinking like in terms of like, it's all in one place. Like,
That would be easy.
Cloud Library was there. Now will everything else be there?
Yeah.
You know, to keep it easy.
Yeah.
Well, Cloud Library has always been on that report because it's always been through Share. Because I've been a member of Cloud for, everybody's a member of an Overdrive.
Right. They're all different consortiums.
Right.
So probably not.
Yeah. I'm just thrilled that it shows up in Aspen.
I don't know if other people know this, but Dina told me that your circulation by hour report, we would sometimes use that if our door counter stopped working. But apparently that report includes digital checkouts and renewals from home. So it doesn't necessarily count actual checkouts that you're doing in the library. So that now includes like Hoopla and Libby, if you have those. This is a fun fact for everybody.
That's good to know.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Any other old business? Okay, we do have some people in the public. Do we have any comments from our public? All right, any announcements?
Yes, and I should have mentioned it up during the shared update, so I apologize.
Okay.
Yesterday, Cassie and I met with OCLC about their RTA, which I've completely forgot what that stands for all of a sudden, real-time availability program that they are offering out. And for once, OCLC is offering something for free, which is actually quite beautiful for them. So this program will allow libraries who have subscriptions to both OCLC, like WorldShare and ILL modules, we would ideally get them set up. And anytime that they get a request, the OCLC system would automatically check to see if that item was actually available for circulation outside of the library. If it was marked as withdrawn, if it was checked out, anything like that, it would actually skip your library and wouldn't go into your list to check, like, so you can mark it as if it was not available.
When you're placing an OCLC request?
Yes.
Oh, that would be so awesome.
I know. So it anytime you wouldn't have to answer those, like the example they gave was the bestsellers. You wouldn't get those bestseller requests because they're not available to circulate. You'd only get the ones, and then you would still be able to see which ones were skipped over in a report. So you're not losing out on those stats. You're just not having to actually enter it yourself. So we are getting a list from OCLC of our member libraries who could participate in this, and it's most of them. And we'll ideally start with the ones who have the highest ILL volume and reach out to you and be like, we really would like you to consider doing this, and this gets you set up. And then those that have a lot less, we could send, if you're interested, we'll send you the link to contact OCLC to get the process set up. But ideally, the more libraries we can get to do this, the more time saving and efficiency for everybody.
Yeah, I'd love that. That'd be wonderful.
Perfect. Do you think it's always going to be free or just right now free?
You can never tell with OCLC. I think this is a program they would very much like to keep this way because it also helps them. It keeps their numbers efficient and their processes efficient. And they don't like getting the emails like, why does it take so long for these requests to get fulfilled? And this will help speed that up. So
if it were to become a paid thing at some point, you could just pull out.
I would hope that is a question I can ask, and I can definitely put it out there. We are not forcing this down anybody's throats, but if we find out that this is something that they foreseeably are going to keep as a free service to help them and us, then all the better for everybody. But I'll reach out to them and find out for sure. And then the other part of the discussion was about the integration between OCLC and Google. You may have noticed if you search on Google for a book, an author, if you scroll down a little bit, you have the option to see where you can borrow it now. And you'll start to see libraries showing up where you can select it and be like, I want the paperback copy. And it takes you out to their catalog so that you could check it out. Also, a free program. We were shocked. It's not anything that we can sign up for. It's something that they're automatically doing. They do admit that it is a very, very slow, long-term process. So libraries that I thought in our consortium we'd already see aren't even on there. And then there's the small ones who are. So they're also sending a list of all the libraries in Illinois who are eligible for this program right now. There are eligibility requirements based on your OCLC holdings and how accurate they are. With our holdings update process, the majority of our libraries should be qualifying. It'll just be when it actually goes into effect. So they're also supposed, along with the list, they're also supposed to be letting us know when our libraries are getting close to having that go live so we can let you know.
Okay, that sounds like two really great additions. Thank you, CLC.
Yeah,
and exactly. I see now that Miss Bobby Perriman is on here. We already voted you onto the committee,
so you can
object now.
And it's been story time this morning because I have people out sick. So sorry, I'm joining so late.
No. Welcome.
Thank you.
All right. So unfortunately, we are at the end of our meeting. So you have joined.
I actually asked a question about the Google.
Absolutely.
Is that in the kind of module where you allow your patrons to make OCLC requests directly?
No. So
we don't allow that.
It's not actually going through OCLC. They're just the ones making the connection between your catalog and Google via the holdings that they have. Okay. Our question with it actually came back to, we're implementing Aspen. How is this going to work? So they're going to reach out. We're going to have some more talks with them. We're going to talk to Aspen and make sure that everything connects pretty or makes sense and connects how it should, because right now it does link back to the old pack. But ideally, we'll get it all synced up. And down the road, everyone will hopefully start seeing their items show up where patrons can look on Google and be like, oh, hey, I can get it from my library and use that option.
I feel like that's like an extension that Google Chrome has too. I've seen that before.
Okay.
That you can add it and it'll say like, it'll take like libraries near you. Like it'll go off your zip code or something.
Yeah. We were playing with it on Google. So it's entirely possible. It's just odd what libraries were showing up versus which ones weren't.
Any other questions? Okay, our next meeting, we're apparently in conflict with Reaching Forward South as scheduled. Do we want to propose a new date?
Yes, April 19th at the same time.
So don't change the date.
Oh, am I looking at the wrong?
Reaching Forward South on their website has not, they haven't fully updated everything, I don't believe. So I think it still says April 13th or something like that. But it's April 19th.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
It is for sure the 19th.
Yeah. Sorry. Thought we had updated on the agenda. Sorry, Jace. That's my fault.
Are we looking to move it to the 12th or the 26th?
26th.
The 26th. Actually, that would make a little bit more sense since this one was delayed because of bad weather the last time, to make it a little later. So how do people feel about April 26th at 10?
Works for me.
Yeah, I think that's good for me too.
Okay. Same here.
All right. Good for me. We will officially move it then to the 26th at 10. Okay. Anything else? All right. So then and without any other business at hand, we will adjourn this meeting at 10:41 a.m.
Can I say good luck to you, Josh?
Yes.
You will be missed.
Thank you very much. I'm going to miss all of you too.
Have a great